We have Myra here from the Citizens Advice Bureau in Spain. Good morning, Myra.
Good morning.
And like David Davis, you don't have a huge wad of paperwork with you.
No. I'd like to take him on a few EU directives.
Oh, dear, dear. Well, there are a lot of positives to be taken from it, Myra. Don't have a go at the poor bloke. Now, it's holiday seasons, if we haven't spotted on the roads. And we've got 40 nutters a minute rather than just the usual 10. And today we're going to talk about health things. Firstly, EHIC, then the TSE. I love an acronym. And then the Convenio Especial. So yes. Let's begin at the beginning with the EHIC. There's a lot of pub talk about EHIC. People say when you can and can't use it. I know people who've been living here for years who've decided that that's all they ever need.
That's true.
Yeah. So,
that's true.
Yeah. Let's do the EHIC first then.
Oh, I suppose we can go to that then because what you've actually brought up now, the EHIC is... It depends. If you're here on holiday, you could use the EHIC for the time that you're on holiday.
And how do they determine the length of a holiday? Suppose you stay for a year and say, I'm just having a long holiday.
Nobody knows unless the UK starts seeing the bills coming in or Spain starts noticing that you're always using your EHIC.
Oh, right. So there is no ruling on it then?
It's very difficult. Oh. It's just the fact that it's for holiday season. And, of course, you are allowed to stay here for 90 days before becoming a resident. So I would presume those 90 days would count.
Yeah.
Because you've not become a resident. You're actually just abroad.
Yes.
But, yes, people are using it. But... certain areas like Valencia, they're cutting down a lot on that. And then in other places, they'll encourage you to use your EHIC because they really don't mind who pays for the healthcare.
Mm. So each area then is different. So
shouldn't be, but, you know, we know now that everybody sort of makes... In fact, I won't mention the police station, but they're still taking the EHIC for Residencia application.
Really?
Mm. Which they were for a while, when things weren't quite as serious as they are now.
Yeah.
But they still are. So
the way that works is then, you apply in the UK for your little EHIC card, and you bring it with you on holiday, and young Tommy falls over and breaks his toe, and he goes off to a Spanish NHS, effectively, hospital, and has his toe sorted out. And then at some point, presumably, the Spanish hospital will physically send a bill to the UK government and get the money back for Tommy's toe.
Yes, I'm not quite sure how the billing works. Mm. I can only know that what I must say on that, because young Billy must have his own EHIC. He mustn't have mummies or...
Even with the baby?
No, each family member must have their own EHIC. Also, interesting to know, if somebody's all of a sudden, for some reason, not received theirs before they've arrived here, they can still apply when they're here. They can still have treatment and let the hospital know that they're... trying to get their EHIC, so not all is lost. We have a lot of information about that on our website. So that's...
God, that's vague, though, isn't it? You could just not even bother and say to them,
no,
it's in the post.
They will contact you now.
Right.
In fact, it'd be very difficult for them to actually accept that you're going to get your EHIC. They're going to think that you're messing them a bit. But yes, you can, and a lot of hospitals realise it's EU ruling that you can provide it after the treatment. So it's worth having a look at all the information on that. They're some of the people. The holidaymakers use EHIC. Also, do pensioners here? Because they're in the UK system. So pensioners, those who are working or have a family member working in the UK and they're living here, the rest of the family living here, they also apply for the EHIC. Those who have an employer in the UK or out of Spain apply for an EHIC.
Right.
And this can be done online through the National Health Service. So if you're resident in Spain, you can apply for your card from here if it's applicable to you and also online and also by telephone numbers. Again, I have those, but people normally can know they can go on the site because to take in and be able to note telephone numbers.
Yeah.
That's the EHIC.
Okay, let's just clear a couple of things up about that then. So... it's for UK residents who are on holiday.
Yes.
In an EU country?
Yes.
Right. So it's specifically EU countries.
Yes, there are some agreements with other countries.
Yeah.
But it's not through the EHIC. It's through your health card from the UK.
Right.
So the EHIC is a European totally only health insurance card.
Right, gotcha. But we'll continue. We have a phone call, and please do call 952-784-4000 if you have any questions, or email studio at talkradio.com. Good morning, you're live on TRE.
Morning, Phil. Hans from Denia.
Good morning, Hans. How can we help you?
Just a thing from last week. I'm obviously doing some of my jobs as pool cleaning, and I have got an English customer holding an Italian passport. He's living 40 years in the UK. Anyway, he was in Denia. He had a domestic accident. He had some blockage in a drain and some acid sprayed in his eyes.
Ooh.
And he couldn't see well, so he went straight to the hospital. We have got quite a good new hospital here.
Yeah.
And he, by mistake, took then the EHEC card, which was, 3 months out of date. He had a new one, but he was obviously very worried. His eyes were burning. Oh. He went to the hospital, and guess what?
Go on.
He had to pay first 200 euros. They wouldn't even take him card 3 months out of date.
It makes it clear. Is he a UK state pensioner? Is he entitled to the EHIC, or is he on holiday here, or does he live here? What's his status?
No, he's got two villas. He's got two villas, but he has no residence status.
He has no residence. Okay. Then it says... you haven't received your EHIC before travel. You don't have to worry. You take down the details that I can give you now, or he can find on our website. And if you need treatment while you're away, you don't have your card, you or someone on your behalf should apply for a provisional replacement certificate. It's called a PRC.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about now. I just gave an example. The card was only outdated 3 months.
Well, he must.
And he had to pay 200 euros before he got it.
Yes, because you can't go around with an outdated document and expect to use it. But he could have applied directly, or a friend of his, even afterwards, could have applied to the UK. He may not be too late to see if he can recoup something.
He had the actual card back at home, but due to the acid in his eyes, he took the wrong one.
Yeah, so but he can...
2 days later with the updated card, Myra.
Hang on a minute. So stop a second here. So he actually had already updated the card. He just brought the wrong one with him, Hans.
Of course,
Two things. One, he could have still had treatment and not had to pay for it, because he could have told him he had his card and he could have had a friend send that over, or provisional. Secondly, in an emergency such as acid in your eyes, it's serious and you cannot be treated in the emergency department for serious accidents.
Treated.
Well, they will if you don't know. This is why we're here, to try and inform. They will charge you if you don't know the rules.
Mara, he knew the rules very well. He had the updated card back at home in a drawer. But the moment he showed up, he took the wrong card. He had to pay 200 euros because he didn't get any treatment without paying 200 euros before.
Well, that, you know, then he should have had let them know and let somebody, it's a hospital as well. But as I said, as an emergency patient, he shouldn't have been charged anyway.
Interesting one, that, Hans. Well, thank you for your call. Really appreciate that. Thank you. Another caller waiting patiently. Good morning, you're live on TRE.
Hello, it's Joe from Costa Blanca.
Hello, Joe.
Hello. I'm a little bit confused now.
Sorry.
The difference between residence and residencia. Somebody said earlier on, I'm not sure exactly who, about 90 days.
Yeah.
Okay, can I just come in to make it very simple for you? Residencia is a Spanish word, and residence is an English word, and they mean exactly the same thing. So that residencia is because we are, as a community, starting to go a bit Spanglish and starting to use words like Spanish words are creeping into our language. So residencia and residence is the same thing.
Right.
Now, we'll go on to your 90-day thing. So the two words are the same. One's Spanish, one's British, one's English.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, I have been on holiday in Spain for something like 12 years.
That's a lot of postcards you must have sent, Joe, in that time.
Okay, so you've been on holiday in Spain. That's not legal. First of all, and of course, I'm not here. I'm not judge. I'm not jury. I'm not here to fine you. I'm here to help you. We're here to help you as cab, and I'm sure
that's why I've given you a false name and address.
Like we would be telling on you. We'd like to help you. So I think in your personal case, I mean, with Brexit coming up, and even if it hadn't, you've been here 12 years. You've lost out on free healthcare already, unless you've got an SIP card up from Valencia. So
I've got the what they used to call a 101.
E1, you've got the EHIC. Okay, yeah. Which you shouldn't be using, but never mind, 12 years later.
Gloss over that.
Surprised you haven't got a nice letter in your false name from the UK health service.
All of my paperwork and my pensions, etc., is all paid in the UK.
Okay, you're a UK pensioner, state pensioner.
Yes.
But
yeah.
So easy for you to get your residency. If you're going to remain here, please do it. Because if we, for instance, I'll just give you, first of all, I'll tell you how positive and how easy it is. You can go with your apply for an S1, and you can take that with all your other documentation and apply for residency. Your healthcare will be paid for, etc. No problems. Secondly, if you don't do this, and say, I don't know if you know the UK, put forward a fantastic, fantastic proposal to the EU. you know, you don't, but a lot of people know our status of residency status here, and their fantastic proposal means that everybody here, if it was reciprocated, all of us here would, who are residents, not you, would reapply for settled status. And if we didn't do that within 2 years, we wouldn't have the right to remain. So I really think, I hope the EU is going to throw this out. I'm sure they will. It's bonkers. So you really and you can talk to us privately. We don't tell on you. You can still contact me with a pseudo name. I will help you to help you to get your residency if you're going to stay here, which it looks like you are.
Okay. I understand the thing with cars, you know, and you, if you bring it over for 6 months, etc., etc.
Oh, you've got a car as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is going so well.
You're lucky you didn't post on our Facebook group because people...
Oh,
certain people,
they'd have you. They'd have
they
you.
All, they, all, they sometimes become like a lynch mob, which we'd rather they didn't because we're here to help people.
Absolutely.
We're not here to judge. But if you'd posted on that and then to add the car, well, that would have been it.
So after 90 days, I should return to the UK.
You should, or you should register here as a resident. And you could have done it 12 years ago so easily, and you'd have had free healthcare anyway, even if you weren't a pensioner 12 years ago. It was so easy then. You just walk in, they give you your certificate, your registry certificate.
Registration. All those tablets I've bought over the years. So if after 90 days I go back to the UK... When, then, can I return to Spain?
Well, there's no hard and fast rule there, but I don't think this is what you want to do, is it?
I'm purely thinking of I have to explain myself to someone.
Well, the thing is,
I've just come back from France.
You wouldn't
yesterday.
Have... I suggest that you wouldn't have to explain yourself... just do it with all your paperwork. You won't have to explain yourself.
Am I right in saying that you can't be forced into residencia? You just should be doing it.
It's if you intend to stay. Yeah, it is an obligation.
Yes. But it's not illegal to not do it.
Well,
you're not
going
to get arrested.
You're not. It's very hard to throw out an EU citizen for not having done that. You can't. You have to have serious reasons to expel an EU citizen.
So as long as we're in the EU, you're covered.
We'll see, call us back after Brexit.
How's the holiday going, by the way? Are you enjoying it in Spain?
It's not bad. I mean, I was thinking I might have to wander about with a mask on for a minute there. But.
Just don't get in your car, whatever you do.
Go and apply for your residency. Honestly, there's loads of advantages, especially as you get older and older here, really and truly. You're on the Padrón, are you? On the census?
No, I'm on the road.
Get yourself on the census.
Oh, love it.
We appreciate
your call. Thanks ever so much for your call. Take care.
And do contact us because we do like to help if you're serious and
fantastic.
You'd like to. It's not going to be so easy in the future to be ducking and diving. So.
Right. Okay. Lovely, lovely call. Okay, Myra, just before we finish with the EHIC there, you mentioned something about an emergency. I know in America, for example, in some states of America, that if you're run down by a car and you're lying bleeding in the middle of the road, an ambulance will turn up and say, where's your insurance card? And if you haven't got one, they'll leave you bleeding in the middle of the road.
Yes, but it shouldn't happen here, though it did happen with somebody who was
burnt.
It did happen to somebody here, didn't it?
Yeah.
They did go to the wrong hospital. They went to a private hospital and refused treatment, which you think...
So here, the NHS will take you...
People should have this number and call the overseas healthcare team and ask them a provisional EHIC. They'll give it to you.
A provision, yes.
It's a provisional one until you can apply for your card.
Okay, so, do you want to give that now while we're doing EHICs?
Okay,
yeah, let's do that now.
If you need a provisional one, you can call the overseas healthcare team, and the number is 00441912181999. This will be, you can listen again here, so you can always pick everything up.
So it's UK 191218 1999. There we are. Fantastic.
Friday, 8 a.m. till 5 p.m.
And that's up to get the provisional card.
And then we've got the TSC, of course. And I'll tell you why I like to use separate names.
Let's do TSE after we take a couple of calls. The line's going nuts now. Good morning, you're live on TRE.
Morning, both of you. Myra Rangdale, sorry. Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
I'm a bit carried away with all the conversation. Just to say, is there a difference between settled status and permanent residency? Because I'm still having trouble getting anybody to understand what I mean when I say I want permanent residency.
Let's just say, let's stick to what we use here and the EU rules. Permanent residency.
Okay. Thanks, Sharon.
Permanent residency. Settled status is going to be similar. So the UK, that's for the UK. We don't want it here. We don't want to apply for settled status. The UK says it's going to be similar to permanent residence, but they've still got to put down some domestic laws. So we can't be, there's no security for those living in the UK at the moment, those EU who are residing there and working there. Ours is permanent resident. How long have you been resident,
she's gone now.
Sharon?
She's listening on the radio now.
Oh.
Yeah, she's listening. So, Sharon goes off and listens.
If you're a permanent resident, if you've been living here for 5 years or 3 years, if you've worked in the social security and been in the social security system, you automatically have the right. You become an automatic permanent resident. This is not going to be the same in the UK. And it isn't the same. So you can either apply for an updated certificate that says you're a permanent resident, or you can just carry on with the card size or the A4 certificate that you have now. There's no obligation to change it. A lot of people are, because they want to see those words post-Brexit on there.
Got it.
Residency certificate, if that's the question.
Yeah, fantastic. Another caller. Good morning, you're live on TRE.
Good morning.
Morning.
Carol from the Costa
Blanca. Hello, Carol.
I have a very, very good friend. She was born in Spain, but she went to the UK. Her family, whole family, mum, dad, all of them, went to the UK. They lived a long time in the UK. However, she's come back. I'm going to cut everything short. She's come back, and she's fine. But she's had to go back to the UK because her mother stayed there. Now her mother's Spanish-born, but has lived in the UK a long time. And she's just had an operation, and my friend, wants to bring her mum back to Spain. But she's afraid. The doctors have said that she can fly, but she's afraid that she won't get treatment here. I was talking to her the other day, and I suggested that she get she's a pensioner in the UK, and I suggested she get an S1 form.
Newcastle. Yes, an S1 form if she's going to become a resident here. If she's just visiting, she uses
Here permanently.
She'll be here. Then as a UK state pensioner, she can apply for resident. Well, hang on, she's born in Spain, did you say?
Yes, but she's lived out of Spain.
It doesn't matter.
Years.
She'll be able to. It's possible that if she hasn't lost her Spanish nationality, it'll be a different story for her. Do contact me and we can look at this particular.
Okay, I'll tell her to do that.
Okay,
lovely.
Then.
Thank you, Carol.
Don't worry.
Cheers, appreciate it.
Oh, and a quick thing on the, because the EHIC for pensioners now living in Spain, since the April 2015 change in the UK law, they don't, for the UK only, not for the rest of Europe, pensioners here now do not have to apply for an EHIC.
Right.
They do not have to renew them. They do not have to hold one. Not for the if they're going direct to UK. They're covered by their S1 now.
Okay.
And remember, pensioners, which we've mentioned before, any pensioner who's a state pensioner goes back to the UK, they are to be treated exactly the same for healthcare as if they resided there.
I see.
That's a fantastic change.
Okay. And what about the scenario where somebody is a UK person and they are now a resident of Spain? What's the equivalent of the EHIC? So if you go back to England to visit your relatives and you have an accident, what happens then?
That's not quite as you said. The TSC, Tarjeta Sanitario Europeo, it's the European health card, is the Spanish version of the EHIC.
Ah.
And that is just for those who have worked here in the Spanish system or Spanish pensioners or are getting Spanish pension. It's not for UK, it depends. It's for the people that work here, the TSC.
Right. Work here currently or have worked
here?
So you paid something into the system?
Yes, have been in the Social Security. They can also, it depends, are certain people not entitled to a card if they're unemployed, on certain benefits or subsidiaries, and what they don't mention on their website, also contributory non-contributory pension. You can only get provisional card, provisional certificate, which you go 10 days before you're due to travel, and you get that. Normally, the TSC is only valid for 2 years. In UK, the EHIC is valid for five. And the reason I like to use the different names is because if people just say, for instance, on the forum, I need to get my EHIC, and they mean their TSC. Mm. So you can answer them about how to go about getting their UK EHIC. And it's a different process if they're... Same thing, different name, different system, totally different system to apply.
Okay, let's supposing you don't qualify for a TSE and you are resident in Spain and you go back home to visit your relatives. Who pays for your health if you get knocked down?
You could. Because you're not a resident here, you're saying, or you are a resident here.
You're resident of Spain based on the fact that you've either got
You've lived on your savings, etc.
Exactly.
You have to be careful. You're not really... they're quite strict there. And even for returning British people, you can't just automatically get healthcare when you go to UK. Only the pensioners, state pensioners only.
So a UK EHIC that you obtain in the UK can't be used in the UK if you don't live there anymore?
Only if you're a state pensioner or your family of somebody who works there.
But that doesn't make any sense, because if you're a Spanish resident and you have an EHIC card...
A Spanish resident with an EHIC card. Yes, only if you are of those that we said, the pensioners... Not just everybody.
Who looks after you then when you fall over in the UK?
Well, you have to have healthcare somehow, don't you? Here?
You're on
you
your holiday. No, I'm talking about people on holiday.
Oh, so you're from here. You're UK. You're Spanish resident here. You're going.
And you've
back.
Gone home to see your relatives. You for a 3 week holiday. You've fallen over. You've broken your leg.
I'm sorry, you're not entitled because if you're resident here, unless you're a state pensioner or the groups of people.
But the NHS won't leave you in the street, will they?
I don't know what they do. I'm sure everybody says everybody can walk in, but they say you have to be a foreigner, and I'm not going to believe that.
Yeah.
Also, it's a lot of not true all about. So you're not.
It's a great
again,
area,
it's
then.
On our web. Not really. It's quite clear. You have to pay for your healthcare.
Wow.
If you're a resident here and you're not covered, you pay for your healthcare in the UK. And a lot of people have been charged.
How interesting.
Well, it's
That's
changed.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, but you don't. It's not like the old days where you just wander back in and
nothing
say...
Nothing is like the old days,
no,
Myra.
It's not
nothing
like
is.
You don't wander
the
in and say...
The skies were brighter, it was warmer, beer was cheaper. So right, okay, so TSE, we've done that. You don't always get it, as you say. You have to be working here or be a pensioner here. What about the convenio especial?
Right, the convenio especial. We've spoken about that before, and I'll explain very briefly what it is because I want to go a bit further on that, which we tried to bring up. The convenio especial is a way. It's not available in all regions, but in most Valencia, most of the regions, it's available in Andalusia. Slightly differing rules, and they're allowed to because it's their autonomous region rules, laws, regulations. It's where you can pay into the national health system here. If you have, there's a lot of people that have pre-existing conditions and
Can't get private healthcare.
Healthcare. So you can pay into National Health Service. Once you apply, now what they say is that you should have resided or be a resident here for a year, but we've discovered that that's not the case.
Right.
And we have a good. A test case going on
in
Andalusia. Andalusia, to apply for this, by the way, the cost is, if you're not state pension age, usually then you're going to get your pension.
Yep.
Then it's €60 a month going up when you're 65.
Oh, okay.
But €60 a month a person. It covers everything except prostheses. Is that Spanish? False limbs, etc.
Prosthesis.
The other word was Spanish. false limbs. It doesn't cover your medication, but it covers everything else. About that, there are a lot of people living here who, What we're finding is, sorry, I'm jumping, is that people that are coming here to reside are early retirees because the S1 no longer is valid for them. They're using the Convenio Especial until their pension comes in, so they're right. paying for healthcare that way. Yep. They're going into the National Health System.
Yep.
Furthermore, we have a case in Andalusia where not only have they not been resident, but they've been on the padron. You must be on the padron for at least 3 months. Get on the padron. Everybody who has somehow missed the boat, and whatever reason, they are not residents. We don't, you know, there's thousands of reasons why people are not residents. It's not too late. A lot of people are worrying with Brexit. The chap that rang up, if he hadn't been a state pensioner, he could have joined the Convenio Especial. Well, get himself on the padron for at least 3 months.
Right.
It really should be a year. As resident, so you have to prove one way or another. Valencia is a little bit more, that region is a little bit more lenient with everything. They do not stress the one-year residency at all. So get on to that. And we now have somebody who is going to apply for residency with the Convenio Especial. With one way, it says you must be residing here first. Well, they've been on the padron for 18 months.
Yes.
And another hand, you're actually residing. Doesn't say you have to have documents. And in fact, you will find on the documents you have to provide, they ask you for your residency or your passport or an ID.
Okay.
And your padron. So everybody, please, you've got time to get on the padron and get the health care, get international health system, and then apply for your residency. We can't guarantee, but it's happening with somebody now, and it looks like they'll get it.
Brilliant. Okay, we've run out of time. Just before we go, somebody tried to ask a question last time you were on, didn't get a chance to do it, so can we do it quickly now? We've got about 2 minutes. I've lived in Altea since 2006. I'm a British citizen and a resident. My question, I was considering applying for an AIR passport, a Southern Irish one, as I am an Irish descent or Spanish citizenship, so as to continue to be an EU citizen. So okay. Those are the two options, if that makes sense. What's Myra's view on Spanish citizenship?
Okay, my view is it's there, it's available.
But you a nightmare
know,
to get.
You know, no, not really. You know the requisites, a little bit of knowing the language, etc. But take into account that once you become, for instance, a Spanish, you have to, it says you don't have to be, by law you're supposed to renounce your British citizenship.
Yeah.
Make sure your will's written well before you become a Spanish national, because once you become a Spanish national, you don't have choice in who you leave your, it's Spanish laws of succession. So that's one of the downsides of becoming. But I'm told by a very good friend and professor of international law and a lawyer that if you've got your will written before you become a Spanish resident, they must respect your choice. Because what you do, what your choice now, since 2015, August, you have a choice of heir.
Yeah.
You did before, but it was just lost in... you shouldn't have. You have the choice of heir. If you're Spanish, you don't.
Mm.
So it's possible that... I should imagine that's going to be interesting in the courts. Irish passport, I wouldn't do anything yet, because you are supposed to contact the police if you change your nationality or your circumstances like that. So if you take an Irish passport, you're no longer really meeting the criteria under which you registered for residency. So be careful there.
I see what you mean.
Be careful. You may have to start again. We're not sure. These are all new things really now that's coming up because of the Brexit.
Got it. Right. Well, a lot of information there, Myra. Thank you very much indeed. Anyone who wants any further information, get in touch with Citizens Advice Bureau Spain. And the best way to find that is just Google it, or find somebody to Google it for you if you can't Google it. There's a Facebook page, but more importantly, there's a website that has answers to pretty much every question you'd want answered. So again, thank you for coming in and the great job you do at CAB, Myra.
Do use Google. I mean, I had to Google a notary for somebody in the UK who didn't really know what I was talking about.
We will see you in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you to all our callers. I will see you next week.